So I said to Big Hair, why don't we take this supercars in review thing and go one more step and rate the drivers? To which he said, how? Well, here's how, Niv. It would be simple if we only had to measure one race, but we can't do that since most supercar weekends have more than one race. And this year, it's also been a battle of tyre life. So we have to look at the whole weekend as one picture, and that means one great race can be spoiled by poor effort in another. We also take into account the relative position of each team against the other. And that means that we're not saying Team Sydney is going to be Red Bull Racing Australia. So, how does it work? 10-point weekend would be perfect. Great racecraft, a sensational implementation of strategy, and scoring the best results possible for that car and that team. A 9 or 8's a very good weekend, barely putting a foot wrong on the way to good points haul, but little spots for improvement. 7 and 6 points is around a pass score, we think, with a few mistakes dragging the score down. 5 and below, there's room for improvement. And that is how the Supercars in Review ratings works.
Welcome everybody to Driver Ratings. My name's Big Hair Nev and I'm joined by Andrew Clark. How are you going, Clarky?
Hey Nev, not bad, not bad. We're getting through this season. We now know when we've got an end point now, so we'll be able to crown our inaugural Driver Ratings champion soon.
Well, that's right. So our review show, we got onto the fact that the Bend has got the gig over Queensland Raceway. Two rounds there. It's even official now with dates and Bathurst. It's all seems to be locked in. So we've got an end date.
Yep, we sure do. And it's a bit sooner than we probably wanted for the season, but it is what it is, as they would say in the books.
Well, we're here for Driver Ratings. And this is for leg one of the Townsville doubleheader. And I want to start it off with Chris Pither from Team Sydney. You gave him a rating of 7.
Yeah, I think Chris is doing a really good job at the so far this season. Yeah, qualifying, they're struggling. Both the Team Sydney cars are very average in qualifying. You know, you're qualifying 23rd, 21st and 24th. But, you know, you're packing in a couple of good results. You know, the race 19 was 11th and, you know, the 24th and 23rd weren't so great. But, you know, that 12-spot gain in the first race is worthy of a bonus point here and there. So, he gets the 7.
Well, I saw a bit of him over the weekend. So, yeah, I'm glad he got a 7. His teammate, Alex Davison, you gave him a 6. Is that because he just didn't finish as well as Chris over the weekend?
Absolutely, yeah. Same car. Yes, you should be able to get similar results. So, yeah, you always measured against your teammate first and foremost. So, yeah, his finishing average was 20.0. Chris averaged 19.3. But, Chris also nearly got that top 10. So, yeah, Alex gets punished a little bit for that. He did qualify a little bit better than Chris. So, obviously using all of those rookie skills to good effect.
Yes. Well, the next team is Matt Stone Racing. It's Zane Goddard. You scored him a 6. How come you got a 6th?
Well, he is still learning, clearly. We've qualified with an average of 20.7. We finished with an average of 20.3. So, you know, we're there or thereabouts from qualifying to racing. So, you know, we need to see a little bit more. He could have maybe got a bit more out of the first race, but he was kind of really smashed in that first corner incident with Shane Van Gisbergen and Anton Di Pasquale.
Well, you gave Gary Jacobson, 7. Looking at the results, Gary probably lost more spaces over a weekend from his starting position, but he had a higher starting position. Is that the only reason you gave him 1 point higher than Zane?
Yeah, you could. Yeah, you know, some people might have argued that he deserved 2 points higher, but I think Zane was really hurt by the fact that he couldn't finish that first race, you know, which is out of your own hands. So he really got kind of punished there a little bit, and he was running okay. I mean, he was last effectively, but, he was running sort of, you know, into the pack a little bit and doing a couple of things. So, again, you know, we compare driver to driver inside a team. Gary did a better job than Zane.
Well, next up is Rick Kelly in the Castrol Mustang, and he got a 6.
Yeah, this is the team where none of them did anything right. So, they were very even. Like, their finishing average, so we can throw Andre in now and tell you that he got a 6 as well. But both drivers have an average finishing of 17.0, so it tells you how close they are there. And Andre's just got a slightly better qualifying average. they were really, really punished in that in the first corner incident. Both cars got damaged. Andre's obviously got damaged a lot worse than Rick's, but, you know, just didn't see much out of them over the weekend to say that, you know, they deserved any more than the six.
Well, Rick moved up spots in all the races, but Andre dropped three spots in one of the races. Okay.
That was the DNF from the first race, though, you know. So, you know, if the DNF's not your fault, I don't see why a driver should be hurt for that. Yeah, so maybe he could have finished higher than Rick. You never know. But if you're going to get beaten up in the first corner, you're going to struggle.
Okay, that's pretty fair, pretty fair. Brings us to Team 18, Scott Pye. Yeah, I thought he would have got, would have deserved more than a seven.
Well, you're not going to get higher than seven when you're qualifying at 16.3. And you're finishing at 8.0. So, you know, he's picked up an average of 8 spots in each race. So you've got to get the qualifying better, and then you're up to an 8 or a 9 again. But, yeah, qualifying was just the issue there, just no single lap speed.
Okay. Well, his teammate, Mark Winterbottom, got 6. He hasn't had the best weekend.
No, there was no sparkle there. And as you remember, I did tip him to finish on the podium. So maybe I should take a couple of points off because he let me down. But 12th, 17th and 10th in the races, you know, it's just a nothing weekend in reality for a bloke who'd shown so much potential in Darwin.
Well, the first of our four car teams is next with Todd Hazelwood. He got a 6.2. Seems like there's been a few average performances at this round.
Yeah, well, Todd was pretty ordinary in the first two races of the weekend and pumped out with a 5th in the final race. So, you know, there's clearly been a troubled car, and we're starting to see a little bit of that sparkle back in him. Whatever happened between qualifying 2 and qualifying 3 in that 5-minute break, clearly the car changed quite enough, you know, because you've gone from 17th on the grid to 5th on the grid in those two qualifying sessions. So hopefully they've unlocked something and we can see him back up there and see if we can get him a few more points here.
Well, Todd went down in the first race. He went down 11 positions from his starting.
Yeah, he's a DNF. So he was involved. You know, he was the one probably hurt the most in that first corner incident.
Yeah,
so,
okay.
Yeah, just smashed and beaten up to pieces, which is probably not what you want, given that the Brad Jones Racing team have had such a heavy workload lately.
Oh, well, at least they're used to it, I suppose, kind of.
Yeah, they're efficient.
Nick scored 8. He didn't have a bad weekend, even though he finished 20th in the first race.
Yep, again, first corner. You know, that first corner hurt so many people. And, you know, again, you can't blame the driver. I mean, we know what it's like when you see guys squeezing through when there's one car sideways and another car limping out to the side to take a few out. So he was the innocent victim again. You know, so that's 3 rounds in a row he's been an innocent victim of somebody else's incident. So, yeah, a bit unfortunate, but I thought he raced okay, you know, 5th and 4th in the two races that he managed okay in. And remember, he had a dud engine on the Saturday as well, so he didn't have a lot of straight-line speed. So, yeah, I thought his return was pretty good, especially that 3rd on the grid on race 21, followed up with the 4th.
No worries. Macaulay Jones, you gave him a 7.
Yeah, we're seeing lots and lots of things from Macaulay. We see a little bit of potential here and there that Brad's been telling us about. So you've got to be careful. He is Brad's son, but Brad's a brutal competitor. And if he thinks Macaulay can't do the job, then he'll get rid of him the same way he did to Andrew Jones many years ago. So I think, yeah, the qualifying performance in race 20 was why he got a decent rating here this weekend. So 12th on the grid was not too bad. And at one stage, he was looking pretty good for an even better spot on the grid. So we'll give him a 7 this weekend. Race results were ordinary, but, you know, 24th means you didn't finish in that first race. And then you're starting the weekend moving into the weekend on the back foot from there.
Well, he had a fairly good qualifying for race 20, but just went backwards by 6 spots.
Yeah, he did. But, you know, I think, we're talking like class learning. So you're learning the class, but sometimes circumstances just don't play your way. And I think he was a bit more a victim of circumstance than anything else on that day.
Jack Smith, the final of the BJR4, gave him a 7 as well. Is that because he had a fairly good first race?
Yeah, I thought he was pretty good in the first race. I mean, he got up to 16th, which, you know, is nothing to shout about. And nothing, you know, we're not jumping off, you know, barriers and things because he did that. But I thought it wasn't a bad effort on his part. You know, I was tossing up between a 6 and a 7 for him. And I think we've been a little bit hard on him at times during the year. So we'll go soft this week.
Well, talk about the Walkinshaw Andretti United gang. Chaz Mostert scored a 9. He had a bit of a cracker of a weekend by the looks of it.
Yeah, Chaz was pretty good, I thought, all weekend. His qualifying was good. Yeah, a little disappointed with that qualifying effort on the final race. Now, 10th on the grid wasn't so great, but 3rd and 2nd in the others. And he clearly, to me, would have had 3 podiums if it hadn't been for that flat tyre, which completely not his fault. I mean, they put the tyre on, the tyre went flat. They brought him back in the pits, put a new tyre on, and then they inflated the tyre at the end of the race and it wouldn't go flat again. So... pretty unfortunate effort when other people aren't having trouble. You're going to be really suffered by doing that extra pit stop. So, you know, he did finish last then, but I think he, if that hadn't happened, he would have been on target for 3 podiums.
Well, his teammate Bryce Fullwood, he scored him 7.
Yeah, good in the first race, just okay in the other two. Okay, we're seeing a little, you know, signs here and there. But, you know, 1 top 10 finish when your teammate's on the podium, you probably could be asking for a little bit more. But again, here's a learning experience.
Okay, first of the Erebus Motorsport cars, and Davey Reynolds, you scored him a 7. He was qualified well, but his racing wasn't quite on it.
Yeah, I think your car had good single lap speed, but struggled over race distances. So, you know, he dropped back in all the races. You know, so he averaged a drop of 4 positions throughout the races. So the only person he was the worst person to drop spots who wasn't involved in that first race incident or didn't get a flat tyre. So you can't give him too high, even though the qualifying was good.
Well, you brings us on to Anton De Pasquale. He scored him an 8. You reckon that even though he got turned around, which again wasn't his fault in the first race on Saturday, his drive back from that incident was worthy of an extra point?
Yeah, if we were only doing one race and we were only judging the Saturday race, I would have given him 10. I thought that drive from the back of the field up into 10th was a pretty special run. And he did finish in the top 10 in all 3 races, and he did qualify inside the top 10 in all 3 races as well. So, yeah, I thought, you know, 8's a fair thing. We'd be expecting him now to be closer towards those front pack instead of a little bit behind them. So he was a little off the pace from where I expect him to be now.
Oh, well. Next, another 4-car team, Tickford Racing, and first up, Lee Holdsworth. He had a steady weekend, but not a lot there. You gave him a 6.
Yeah, he's got a car that, you know, if you look at Cam Waters' results over the weekend, you know, with 2 podiums, then Lee should be getting towards the same sort of spot as well. We didn't get that out of him. In fact, we only got 1 top 10 finish. There's no qualifying speed to speak of, and there's no race speed to speak of. So I expect a little more mongrel out of him, I suppose. And, you know, maybe we'll see that a little later when we get to Bathurst and so forth. But I thought it was a bit down on what I expect from him and where he should be.
Well, I'm going to mention Jack LeBrock. He also scored a 6. Again, qualifying was okay, but it was racing that what let him down.
Yeah, well, certainly the first qualifying run on wasn't his fault. You know, the suspension broke or the steering broke on his car, so he didn't do a qualifying run on that first race. That means you're always going to battle. So you're starting 24th. He finished 15th, so he picked up 9 spots in the race. Admittedly, you know, 4 or 5 of those were DNFs, but he still raced okay through the process. But in the other 2 races, he lost a lot of spots. So if we picked up 9 in the first race, we lost 4 and 5 in the next 2 races, so he ends up in an average net gain of 0. So, you know, he is now a race winner, obviously, but he's still a work in progress. So we're going for a 6 there, so average weekend.
Well, getting to the experienced guys on the team, James Courtney, you gave him a 7. I thought his expectations were maybe a little high.
Well, we certainly are. We're changing our expectations on him week in, week out at the moment. He's learning the car. He's learning the team. He's coming to grips with it all. 6th and 7th from the first 2 races and 13th from the 3rd. You know, so we could expect a little more out of him over the course of the weekend. Qualifying was just off the boil a little bit, I thought, and that hurt him when it came to the races.
Well, that brings us to Cam Waters. You scored him a 9. I mean, it was a pretty solid weekend that he put together. He was always in the mix. I reckon I saw more Monster than Red Bull, to be honest.
Yes, well, yeah. Well, it's a good-looking car, isn't it?
It's great.
So you're always going to show that when you can. Yeah, really, really solid weekend and a great return to form for him. I mean, we qualified 4th, 4th and 2nd. So, you know, qualifying average of 3.3, which is the 2nd best in the field for the weekend. And we finished 2nd, 4th and 2nd. So 2 podiums and a finishing average of 2.7. So, which is the second best finishing average in the field. I thought it was a really good run. I thought he drove well. He looked after the tyres. He did everything he needed to do to get the best out of the car that he had. And he was the only one of the Tickford guys that was consistent and consistently quick across the weekend.
Brings us to Red Bull Racing and Shane van Gisbergen. And he went from the snake all the way down to square one because basically he scored a six. And I reckon it's because of that Saturday race.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's we're seeing too many errors from Shane at the moment. And I think it's really hurting what he's getting out of his racing. You know, to finish 19th in that race because of that incident, you know, you bent the car, he smashed it up in the process. So, you know, overall, you're not going to judge him too much. He lost eight laps, but it was his fault, you know, and therefore he gets hurt by it. Qualifying wasn't that great either, 7th, 7th and 13th when your teammates qualifying first and 4th. So, yeah, you could argue he was a bit lucky to get a 6 even, but his two races on Sunday were okay.
Okay, so you feel that his move on Saturday was a little desperate because he was down in 7th?
I just thought it was clumsy. I don't think it was desperate necessarily, but he put himself into a spot where he shouldn't be, and then he just misjudged the braking, and he cocked it up, and it cost people really badly, including himself.
At the other end of the spectrum almost, Jamie Whincup, you scored him a 9. I would have been, you could have almost done a tenner there. But he missed the chicken flag? It stopped on the straight? What was it?
No, we'll forgive him for that one. It's an innocent mistake. Those cars don't have the best vision when you're looking up, so I think he just didn't see the flag come out when the bloke was a little bit late to pull it out. Certainly two wins and a third place, you know, good return. But we know the car's good enough to win all three races, so that qualifying on the second race of Sunday is what hurt him. He qualified 4th instead of on the front row. If he qualified on the front row, he might have, you know, nailed a perfect weekend like Scott McLaughlin did in Darwin. You know, not perfect, so you can't get a 10.
Well, that brings us to the DJR Team Penske team. At first up, Fabian Coulthard. You scored him a 5. Like, he's had the lowest score of anybody of the weekend. I mean, what, he's just not performing?
Yeah, well, you compare him to Scott McLaughlin. So let's go back to that discussion. What can that car achieve? That car is a race-winning car, and we're not even seeing podiums this weekend. So the 4th on Saturday was okay, but 15th and 17th on Sunday is just not good enough. So, you know, he's lucky to get a 5 in some respects. If it hadn't been for the good Saturday, he might have even got a 4. You know, he should be up there. He should be up there collecting a lot of points for the team so that they can go well in the team's championship instead of that all relying on Scott McLaughlin collecting too many points. So he's got to pull his finger out. We've got to see a little bit more from him, I think.
Well, do you think it's his qualifying that's letting him down?
No, I think my gut feel would be that they changed the car overnight and it didn't work. And you didn't have much time to fix it in that 5 minutes between the races. So whatever they tried really hurt him. I mean, qualifying, he's normally okay. What are we looking at? His qualifying average for the season, if I'm looking it up now, you'll have to excuse me while I pause. He's averaging 8.8 on qualifying. Best result is 2, and his worst result is 16, which is what we saw that weekend. We are not seeing the qualifying speed that we would hope from him. Yes, absolutely. But I also think we're not seeing the racing that we expect.
Okay, yeah, I feel that he's a bit, hot and cold when it comes to the racing. He has some good weekends and he doesn't have some good weekends.
Absolutely.
That brings us to his teammate, Scott McLaughlin. He scored a 7. I'm surprised he got even a 7 with some of his qualifying efforts.
Yeah, but when you improve 9 spots and 7 spots in the races, you're always going to be popped up a little bit. But that said, 16th and 13th in qualifying, two ordinary efforts. And he's got no one to blame for those but himself. You know, it was his error on Saturday that cost him the spots. And it was just a really ugly lap on that first session on Sunday. And to show what he could do and what the car was capable of, he slammed it on pole in the final race. So didn't get enough out of it. 7th, 6th and 1st in the three races. So they're an okay return. But, you know, Scotty McLaughlin, we expect a lot more from him than that.
Well, just to recap, there's only 3 drivers that made it into the 9s this round. It's Jamie Whincup, Cameron Waters and Chas Mostert. A couple of 8s, but that was it. That's the noticeables. The other one was 5. Fabian Coulthard got the lowest score of the weekend. And that brings us to the scoreboard for the driver ratings. Scott McLaughlin's on 51. Followed closely by Jamie Whincup, who's clawed a few points back on 48. Nick Perkett comes in third at 47. Chas Mossett in fourth on 46. And rounding out the top five is Mark Winterbottom on 44. Sixth is Cam Waters on 43. Shane van Gisbergen in seventh on 42. Eighth is Lee Holdsworth on 40. Andre Heimgartner on the same amount on 40. And then rounding out the top 10, Scott Pye on 39. But behind him, James Courtney and Fabian Coulthard are both on 39. It's obviously a countback that's just got Scott up there.
Scott Pye got the 9 points in round six. So, yeah, that's why he's there.
Puts him in the 10. I like that. Okay, well, if you want to see the rest of the scores, because they are pretty close, we'll be putting them up on our Facebook page. I just want a bit of a shout out, a couple of things. Our review show will be after this weekend, leg two. Tune in for that. And also visit our Facebook page, Supercars in Preview Review. And I want people to give us some feedback on the Kia Stinger. I've put a photo of the Kia Stinger up there. It's not a bad looking car, by the way. And if anybody has driven one, let us know. Let us know. We've got a couple of thumbs up, but I would like to get a bit of feedback so we can talk about it on the show.
Yep, well, I've driven one and I loved it. But just remember, there's a brand new one. Not brand new, there's an updated model coming shortly, so we might even see a little more sparkle out of it.
Yeah, well, we'll see how we go. Considering we're in lockdown, it's pretty hard to do anything.
They might let us out one day, Liv.
Woohoo! Oh, well. Okay. Thanks, Clarkie. Thanks, listeners. I appreciate you joining us. And we'll see you next week.